This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The border war is tomorrow night, Brian.
Love Friday night football.
College football?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, it gives me something, yeah. I look forward to the Friday night matchup. When one of my teams is playing on Friday night, it's great.
I hate it. It's supposed to be for the kids, man.
When you say
Friday Night Lights, you think of high school kids. And that's their night to go and do it.
That's great. But some of us reach a point where we're going to be sitting at home. We're not going to be going out to a game. We don't have any kids or grandkids that are playing. We still have an interest. But if I can camp out on a Friday night and watch CSU play football, I'm totally down. That makes my Saturday even better because then I can spread it out. Yeah. And I don't have to be focused on that one.
I just don't like it, especially here locally, because when the Rocky Mountain Showdown was on Friday nights,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of the local reporters that would have been out covering high school games around the area and giving these kids the coverage that they deserve, they were all of a sudden down in Denver for the Rocky Mountain Showdown.
Totally get your point.
And it is it's college football Saturday. Save the college football for Saturday.
How do you feel about Tuesday and Wednesday?
That's fine. I love action. I love
it. Okay, so why is that different?
Because it's not conflicting with the high school kids. These high school football, especially the first week of playoffs for a lot of these teams, right? Like, they're going to be people, and there's going to be local news outlets making decisions on where to send reporters. Are they sending them to Laramie, or are they going to send them to cover the Friday Night Lights? I just think Friday nights should be left alone for the high school side of things, and keep college football for Saturday. But Angel, what are your thoughts on this, my friend?
I understand the pushback to it. I don't really have a major issue with it.
Not at all. No. Do you like if Alabama was playing on a Friday night, would you like that?
Sure. I mean, my team's
more than
playing,
a Saturday,
so there you go.
But more than a Saturday.
It's football. I don't have a preference on the day. They could play on Sunday, and I'd still watch it.
Yeah, Alabama probably could play on Sundays for.
Also, like, we're into playoff season with prep, so, you know, maybe your team's not in the playoffs anymore, so you don't have
right.
any interest.
Right, and that is true. That does start to change some things out there, but I just feel like it's Friday night preps, Saturday's college, Sunday NFL.
No, I get you. I mean, I understand your point, but I think look, those who love preps football are still going to be there.
What about Thursday night games? They play on Thursdays, too.
Thursday night college games?
Right. No, or preps.
Preps? Yeah, and that's that never used to happen. And it's just the shortage of officials now. Like, and it's been tough trying to find local games on Friday nights here, just from pulling back the curtain from the scheduling side of things, because so many of the teams that we're covering are playing on Thursdays now because of the lack of referees. And I know Bruce Dick talks a lot about this on Coach Speak, but I just don't love it. Like, I'm pumped for the border war. I wish it was Saturday at 6 o'clock. I wish it wasn't on a Friday night. There's so many other things going on Friday nights that not a lot of people are either just going home to sit on, you know, the couch and watch things. That's date nights for a lot of people. That's going out. Like, I think that just drops some of the viewership at times as well. So I would be curious about that, about the viewership on Friday night college games compared to Saturday games.
I watch probably more Friday night college football games than I do on Saturdays. In all honesty,
I haven't watched a single Friday night college football game at all.
Friday night college football, there's really not a lot of competition for me. Friday nights, I'm generally alone. So I'm chilling.
Right.
It's me and the dogs.
For you personally,
so
it
for
fits.
Me, it works out beautifully. I wish the Vikings played every Friday night. You know, it would be awesome. So the couple times that CSU has been on a Friday, it's lit me up. Yeah. I've looked forward to it, and it makes me happy.
But when you look at it on the grand scheme of things, these television networks aren't putting their number one shows on Friday night. Like, that's not where people are at home on a Friday night watching television, right? So why move a rivalry like CSU and Wyoming to a Friday night? Now, I know in the grand scheme of things, it's one of the most disrespected rivalries. I think it's one of the coolest rivalries with the run up to the border there. But why set it up on a Friday night when you don't have as many people watching the television?
I get your point, but if it's all about me, which it should be, this works better for me.
It's not.
It's not. It kind
of
is.
There's a lot of CSU fans that have kids, high school kids playing high school football. They're going to have a game that they're going to be at, and a game that they would normally be able to get to on a Saturday.
Well, then listen to KFKA, and we've got you covered.
Miss potentially that last game of your kid's high school career and go up to Laramie for the Border War.
What? No, you can go to that one and then follow along. That's why we have the devices now. I mean, you can sit and you can watch one while you're at the high school game.
It shouldn't even be a conflict. Keep it on Saturday and call it good.
All right, no.
The oversaturation of everything, too, man. Like, if there was no college football games throughout the course of the week, would you be more amped to watch college football on Saturdays?
It's
just like you're starting to see that with the NFL with the Thursday night games and the Monday night games, and it's like there's not as much time for us to be missing it.
I can agree on the NFL and you know, somewhat on college football as well. It shouldn't be an every night of the week that there's a game on, because if you're a sports fan and you're married, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
All right, there's that, but also
build the anticipation.
I do not watch a lot of Thursday night football.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you right now who's playing tonight.
I don't know either.
Tennessee and Pittsburgh.
Tennessee and Pittsburgh. Okay. And a good matchup. In fact, this whole week of NFL matchups all are potentially very good games.
I realize you're making my point for me
now.
I also
think that the TV deals have a lot to do with this, because they'll set out their schedule for the week months in advance and say, okay, ESPN, we're going to pick this game. CBS, you get second pick, you get this game. Fox, you get this game.
No,
and they do, and it's like, okay, our Saturday's full because we have, I don't know what channel this game is on, but they probably have a bigger game tomorrow in prime time.
Yeah, and I believe it's CBS Sports Network is where it's going to be at. Got a texter here. Don't you dare take away my Maction action.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you.
I went the
over on two Wednesday night games last night. Yeah, baby.
Take the overs and sit back and hope for touchdowns.
And that's what I did, and they did. I knew Akron would do it.
Yeah. You realize that's not the town here in Colorado, right?
That's
you realize
right.
That?
I didn't know. I just bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
No one knows. This is why ESPN Plus is out there, man.
That's exactly
games,
right.
Bowl games you would never think that started at Tuesday at 10 a.m. Yeah, you got to wait to watch that bad boy.
Yes, I do.
I build up the anticipation. I enjoy it. The Tuesday and the Wednesday games, I do enjoy it, because that's not a game I would have watched anyways, right? I wouldn't have watched Tulane.
There's no way I would watch Toledo
or any of them.
Yeah, there's not a chance in hell. But when it's standing alone, it's like, yeah, and I got five on it.
And this is where I'm kind of talk about your units. Just say I've got a unit on. Okay. All right, that's sports betting talk right there.
I'm not here to learn.
But I know I'm arguing against myself a little bit too, because that's why the TV contracts are what they are. Because if I can throw on a Maction game on ESPN2 on Tuesday, you're going to get the degenerates watching that game like we were all just talking about, throwing a couple bucks at it.
Yep.
But I feel like there's enough competition outside of sports on Friday nights that I don't like. I don't like this is potentially the second biggest game of the year for a Mountain West team, for CSU in the Border War. Like, you got CU first, and then probably it's your other biggest rival. It's Wyoming. So your second biggest game of the year is on a Friday night, and we know the majority of people are not sitting around watching their TVs on Friday nights. You talk about the commute to get up there. You talk about all that working until 5, the game's at 6, and now I got to leave early from work. Like, there's so many things that I just don't like about this game being held on a Friday night.
How do you feel about the Avalanche or Nuggets playing on Friday night?
It's... That's different, because there's so many different games that you have to fit in. You got 82 games to go into. You have just a set number of games with football, and you could get them all in on the Saturdays, and it would be fine.
But shouldn't they not play so that we can watch high school?
It's different sports. It's different sports. Like, that's my issue, is that it's high school football.
Wait a minute.
Going up against college football. But, like, this game gets going.
I thought the balls were shaped differently.
This game is going at 6 o'clock tomorrow up in Laramie. So if I'm a CSU fan wanting to go to this game, get off at 5, you got to go home and change. You're going to be late to the game, first and foremost.
Get off early for that day.
That's easier said than done for a lot of people. Yeah, go to your boss and say, hey, there's football tonight. I better get out of here a little early.
Yeah, and if they have a problem with that, you got the wrong job.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
I don't like it, man. Keep college football on Saturdays, especially when it's a big rivalry game like CSU and like Wyoming, the Border War. That's going to be a fun game, too. I really do think it could be the ugliest first half and the best second half. It could be the ugliest first quarter, best second quarter, ugliest third quarter. You don't know with these two teams. They have been on a roller coaster, both of them, all year long. And I'm just saying the fact that, like, I'm going to be down at the Colorado Grit game. Date night. Like, if I tried to say, hey, my new wife, our date night is going to be sitting at home watching CSU in Wyoming, she would annulment. It would be done, right? Like, that's what it would be.
Well, you don't
do
tell her.
On Thursday then?
What's that?
Or move it to Saturday night?
No. I hate you guys. 8:17 the time. It's good
right
morning.
On Angel.
NoCo, presented by Air Solutions. We'll be back with more of me being wrong. Our Happy Life Gardens poll question today. I do really like this question. Who would have been the scariest coach to play for? Bobby Knight passing away at the age of 83 years old. And I've got a list, Brian, of the top 20 terrifying coaches.
Yeah,
of
let's
all
hear
time.
This. Let's I'm very curious.
Top 10, Bobby Cox.
Bobby Cox, former manager of the Braves. Yeah, he was known to be kind of mean.
He was a hothead. He will always be remembered for holding the record for most ejections. How many times do you think Bobby Cox got ejected out of games?
Oh, geez, he coached a long time. I'm going to say probably 60.
158.
Okay, he raised that bar.
Yeah, he's giving umpires nightmares, so he's number 10. Number 9, Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, it's spooky that they're watching practices.
Yeah.
Recording that. I'm still very confused by that whole scandal that's going on.
I don't know what's down in Michigan.
Yeah. Number 8, Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I think that there's a demand for a way to perform, but I think he's one of those guys that a lot of the players actually like.
That's what Brady was saying this morning, too, man. I think
that's
you're
where
right.
I heard it.
I think this, from a reporter's side, Bill Belichick is terrifying. Like, if you were had to be in there asking those questions. The story's number 7, Brian Clough. Apparently is a legend in the world of soccer.
Okay, so, I don't know him.
Earl
Clough, probably.
Clough, yes, yeah. Sorry. Earl Weaver.
Yeah, Earl was known to be a hothead for the Baltimore Orioles. You didn't want to mess around with Earl. Weaver, he got thrown out a lot.
Weaver's trademark would be to turn his cap so that it faced backwards, as this would allow him to get into the umpire's faces without touching them. It would not just be verbal tirades that he would go through. He would often kick or throw dirt at umpires, throw his hat to the ground, and take it out on any object he could find. Earl was ejected nearly 100 times as a manager.
I will during the break, I got to tell you one of my favorite Earl Weaver's stories.
Okay.
All right.
Can't be on air?
No.
Okay.
No, it can't, actually. It's something he said to a ref.
Okay. Number 5, Greg Popovich. Again, I feel like this is more disciplinary, but I wouldn't want to have to interview him.
No, he's a tough character. He is, but he's one of those. I mean, he got the name Pops for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's got to be something endearing there somewhere, but maybe really hard to find.
Number 4, John Tortorella. The manager of the Rangers, the hockey team.
That's why the name's familiar, but I don't know any stories of him.
Yeah, he was, again, quick to insult people with stupid questions. Number 3, Sir Alex Ferguson. That sounds soccery to me.
Yeah.
Soccery. Number 2, Tom Coughlin. I never saw this side of Coughlin, I didn't see him in his younger days, obviously, but when he was with the Giants, I never saw I didn't see the angry side of him very often.
He was one who would fine players if they were not 5 minutes early.
Really?
He said, if you're on time, you're late. And he would, he ran
a
really...
If you're 4 minutes early for a meeting, then you are late and will be punished.
Yeah, he was very, very much a disciplinarian.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That's surprising that he's at number two on the list, though.
He's won three Super Bowls, and number one, Lou Piniella.
I used to be a fan of Lou Piniella. I didn't know that he was, this list is... How can this list not have Woody Hayes? How can it not have Bobby Knight?
Just did the top 10.
But are any of those floating below there even? Because I'm crying BS on this list.
Jerry Sloan. Do you remember Jerry Sloan?
I do. He was a player for the Bulls, and then he was a coach for the Jazz, wasn't he?
Yep. He was number 16 was my answer, Mike Ditka. Those guys that you were just talking about, not on there.
That's ridiculous.
Ozzie Guillen's on there.
Didn't know of him as a tyrant either.
Yeah, it's interesting, but send us the most terrifying coaches. Who's the scariest coach that you would have to or would play under? Bobby Knight.
Yeah, intimidating. You know, who would have been the most intimidating? Yeah, I don't understand that list. Because
Sportster's dumb.
Yes, they are.
Sportster.com. 8:29 the time. It's Good Morning NoCo. Colorado Grit Hockey back in action this weekend. Friday night, 7:15. Saturday afternoon, 3:45. Saturday afternoon is Military Appreciation Night. All right, so make sure you get down there and support with proceeds going to serve some nonprofits in the area. So make sure you go down there, show your support for our military. Right now, I've got a $25 gift card to the swag store, for lack of a better term, down there with a ton of Colorado Grit gear.
They have great gear, don't they?
Yeah. Well, and Bob's telling me about it on the phone. The owner is telling me about it on the phone the other day. He's explaining. I said, Bob, I know I dropped way too much money in that store because my fiance at the time, my now wife, loved everything that she was seeing. And I was, sure, you know. And I've got two hats. She's got a nice little cardigan that she will not take off. So I love it. It's a great shop down there. $25 gift card to go to the Colorado Grit and get some swag for yourself there. We're not far away from the holiday season. $25 gift card to go and get some swag. Be color number three right now. 970-353-1310. 970-353-1310. $25 gift card to the swag store for the Colorado Grit. 8:33 the time now. It's Good Morning NoCo. We are live from the Yellow Fiber Studios of Tanner Schwent, Brian Gary, my co-host, Angel Padilla, doing the production back there. And joining us now is Miles Blumhart from the Colorado. And Miles, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Does your new bride call you Spanish lullaby?
What?
We got that Madonna playing.
No, that was the Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits.
I'm sorry, that's what?
Good.
Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits.
Oh, okay. Just a second here, maybe. Oh, I missed it. Okay, just a second here.
What are you listening to, Madonna? Are you having a dance party? Yeah. Are you voguing alone?
What is he
right?
doing?
So I'm throwing up my 10-pound barbells. Yeah, and I was listening. Then some Madonna came on to really jazz me up. My God, I'm so sorry. But are you her Spanish lullaby, Tanner? This is awkward. Let's go. Come on, let's go. So, what about the border war?
You know, it reminds me of an old Madonna tune, Borderline.
There you go. Probably her best song, by the way.
Miles, that was a swing and a miss, my friend.
It could have been worse. I could have been on a different radio station.
That's true.
I
had to text your colleague this morning, and Kevin Lytle, and because I did hear him on a different radio station. I'm like, you're cheating on us when I specifically asked you not to. And he said, if it's before 6 a.m., it doesn't count.
So that's funny. Works,
he did the bronze boot run this morning with the ROTC cadets. So.
Yeah, Brady was out there too. I was proud of those guys.
Good.
Well, you were in your basement sweating to Madonna.
All right.
I'm a I'm what they call, you know, when you're wear, you have to wear those pants, those husky pants. That's where I'm at right now. So I gotta cut some weight.
Yeah.
All right. Let's
move
on. I
have no idea what you're speaking of, Miles. I've never had to wear those before.
Move on from Miles' workout routine.
All of my pants are stretch pants, whether they want to be or not.
This started out really badly.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where I almost want Angel just to hang up, call you, and let's try this thing again. But
I don't blame you.
We'll dive into this. Miles, it was a story that we kind of talked about a little bit about last week, but I know it's up on the Colorado one now this morning about U.S. 287, one of the deadliest roads there. Talk us through the story, Miles.
Yeah, I finally, you know, it's been a long, it's like a month-long process to get all the data and everything, but yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's one of the deadliest roads in Colorado for sure. There's 15 fatalities in the last 11 years, and that's that 30-mile stretch from Ted's place or Colorado 14 up to the state line. It's only 30 miles, but when you start looking at the data, it's just, you know, that stretch of highway looks really wide open and really inviting to drive, but there's a lot of distractions there. You know, a lot of it's driver's fault. There's impairment, which has killed 3 people on the road this year on that stretch already. You know, there's speeding, there's aggressive driving, you know, there's not paying attention, all those types of things, but it just seems to have a curse to it. You know, there's been almost a dozen University of Wyoming students killed on that section between Laramie and Fort Collins alone. So Colorado Department of Transportation has started a safety study on that to see what they can do.
No, wow. And I know we've talked a little bit too, Miles, is that the infrastructure falling behind just a little bit there too, because it wasn't built for a lot of those semi-trucks that are driving it now.
Yeah, it was in the last decade, there's been a 53% increase in overall traffic and 27% increase in truck traffic. One of the things with the truck traffic is, you know, when those crashes happen, a lot of times they're fatal just because of how big they are. But impairment, you know, there's weather issues up there, you know, there's, you know, blowing and drifting snow and ice. And but really, you know, it's just one of those stretches of road that if you don't pay attention, you know, you can have problems. CDOT's going to look at, there's already passing lanes up there, there's deacceleration and acceleration lines. They're going to, you know, try and look at adding to those. I talked to Colorado State Patrol, and they don't believe the 65-mile-an-hour speed limit is an issue. There's you know, wide shoulders. It's just really people being impaired and not paying attention.
Yeah, which is that's so sad because that's a controllable aspect.
Yeah, and that's, you know, a lot of times people complain to me, and a lot of people have complained about 287 to us over the years. People complained a lot about the construction on I-25, and I get that. But at some point, it has to be, you know, and really with cell phones, I mean, it's inattentive driving is, I mean, distracted driving is, you know, you talk to any law enforcement official, and if it's not impairment, it's, you know, it's distracted driving. So, you know, really, it's on the drivers.
Yeah, and I firmly believe that because I think the distractions are there, and we need to be more focused. Yes, I think there's a lot of weather incidents. That's a road that gets closed. I mean, that's one that you hear about there being trouble on. So naturally, just the climate and the way the terrain is set up and all that can make that a difficult road.
It can. I looked at the numbers. So there has been 553 crashes on there from 2013 to 22. 17% of those crashes occurred when there was ice, snow, or slush. So, and another small percentage was because of wet. So, although weather does play a role, a lot of times that road is closed, you know, when it's really bad. So, weather is an issue. It's just not as big an issue, I think, as some people think. You know what the biggest issue is? Or that what accounts for the greatest number of crashes is wildlife.
I was just going to say that.
See, that's interesting. Before we move into that wildlife portion, I want to make a note here because we talked about a lot of this is controllable. It's not driving buzzed. It's not driving drunk. It's not driving distracted. Yet a lot of people are going to complain and say, hey, CDOT, you need to do something about that. And it's really not something that CDOT can control. I mean, other than DUI checkpoints and things like that, Miles, like it feels like we're going to be looking to a government entity to help solve a problem that is caused by the individuals on the roads.
So the Colorado Department of Transportation in the last 20 years has spent almost like $20 million. Rumble strips, guardrails, the passing and acceleration, deacceleration lanes. If you drive up there, the amount of signage is unbelievable. One of the problems up there is that I counted like 25 intersecting roads on a 30-mile section, some which come in there quite awkwardly.
Mm.
And that's an issue, too. Plus, you have Lean and Sons limestone quarry up there. You have buses that stop. But, you know, I agree with you. After a while, you just have to go, you know, we got to be better. So Colorado State Patrol said that they had been patrolling that. It wasn't in a saturation area. But they lost some troopers, and they lost some funding and resources. And in 2022, there were no fatalities. This year, there's three. And one of the things that Colorado State Patrol says is they've hired three more troopers. So that in 2024, they're gonna be up there in greater numbers than they have in the last few years.
We're talking with Miles Blumhart from the Coloradoan this morning. You said the leading cause on 287 for accidents was wildlife. Miles, are we talking deer? Are we talking elk? What are we talking?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so I went up there the week of October 16th to the 19th, and sure enough, right by the Abbey, right up there, there's a guardrail taken out by a UPS semi, and there was a dead elk. And it's mostly deer. Wildlife makes up 34% of the collisions on that stretch. What happens is this time of year, so November is when crashes spike up there. Mostly it's because of wildlife, because they're migrating from their summer range to their winter range, which crosses the road there, the highway. And so what happens is, you know, you in November, those spike. So you got to be really careful. And then also you got what you love, right? The time change is happening this Saturday, which also influences that. The best thing about wildlife collisions is there hasn't been any fatalities. Most of the fatalities happen up there. I think there's been eight crashes, but they've resulted in eight head-on crashes, but five deaths. So
yeah,
a third of them. So it's just you know what? You have to pay attention when you're driving on that road.
Do any of those things that people could put on their vehicles, like those deer whistles, those kind of things, do they have any effect whatsoever on the wildlife?
I've read that they don't.
Yeah.
And the wildlife collisions aren't high enough up there to warrant any kind of underpass, overpass, you know, fencing, anything like that. I looked at the studies, and you have to have more collisions than what they have up there. You know, if you look, I think it was, you know, in that Vail area and that, they put in these expensive but effective wildlife overpasses and underpasses. But that area doesn't qualify for it. CDOT hopes to spend about $10 million in the next 5 years. To figure out what kind of projects that could make that road safer.
Well, I know Friday night, big game up in Laramie, Miles, and some DUI saturation going on there on 287.
Yeah, it's so simple, right? Just get a designated driver. Somebody's got to, you know, have your back. They're going to be not only patrolling 287, but I-25. So, you know, make your plans ahead of time.
Get a damn hotel room up there.
Yeah, I'll get a hotel room. Probably don't want to Uber from there. But, you know, there's in this day and age, you know, we can't have that. And,
nope.
And you know, I mean, I talked to the mom who lost a daughter up there in 2021, you know, and just the devastation to her and her family is it really hits home. So don't drink and drive. Hopefully the Rams will come back with the bronze boot. I'm not thinking that's going to happen. I think it's probably 21-10 Wyoming, I think.
Really? You've got them covering the comfortably.
Spread, yeah.
I think the spread's 7, right?
So yeah.
11. Yeah, I don't see it as a very high-scoring game. I'm not sure about Torrey Horton and his availability. I think he's pretty banged up.
No, he is, but we've talked a lot about it, Miles. They've still got guys out there. You look at Justice Ross Simmons, and you look at what Dallin Holker can bring. And, you know, and the other thing is that, you know, Boise just beat the crap out of Wyoming last week. So that can either really light up a team like Wyoming, and they can be really amped for it. But if, you know, if CSU gets up early, that could be interesting.
Yeah, you know, and you got Louis Brown. I think he's a good receiver too.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem is, I think Wyoming's going to make them one-dimensional, right? They're not going to be able to run the ball against Wyoming. Wyoming's very good against the run. That's what scares me. And when they become one-dimensional, BFN has a tendency to throw a few more interceptions. If the Rams can just sneak out a few points, I think they can win this game. I thought their defense played pretty well against Air Force for a pretty good portion of that game. That's just my own feeling, but I've seen CSU defenses play a lot worse against Air Force. So that kind of emboldened me a little bit.
Hey, I'm wondering, Miles, real quick, our poll question today with the passing of Bobby Knight, who was the most intimidating coach? If you had to play for somebody, who would have been the most intimidating coach to play for?
Steve Adazio.
Yeah, I'll give you a quick story, Bob Knight. So I worked out at the 1984 Olympics, and one of my jobs was to monitor the press conferences, and Bobby Knight was the coach. And so I was the person that stood up on the podium and would point to the media for Bobby Knight to answer the questions. Oh, my God, my hand was shaking up there. I was so afraid of the guy. He was unbelievably intimidating. So, yeah, I got to go with Bobby Knight.
No Steve Adazio, no Larry Eustachy?
No, Larry Eustachy and I had a really ugly disagreement one time, and those guys have a lot of bark, not a lot of bite. Bobby Knight had both.
He certainly did. I was with Mike Ditka. A lot of lists have Bobby Cox on there as well.
I had Woody Hayes.
Oh, psycho. Yeah.
I mean, when you punch a player in the gut,
right,
you know, you've lost your mind.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, Nick Saban. I mean, there's a good list, but Bobby Knight, and he's an intimidating figure. He's a big man.
Passing away at the age of 83. I was when I was in middle school, actually. We got to pick a figure, and it couldn't be a president or anything like that. You got to pick a figure, and I was a big sports nut, so I picked Bobby Knight. I'm like, okay, I want to learn more about Bobby Knight. That was the coolest presentation I ever got to dive into and learn, because I played the video of the infamous chair toss as it went flying across there. And of course, you know, he had his moments, man, where it's like, I believe he punched a police officer down in a different country and all sorts of stuff like that. It was polarizing, but he was very, very, and I mean very successful.
Yeah.
That he was.
Sixth most in wins, I believe. Very intimidating person. A great experience, you know, to be around a guy like that. And yeah, his presence was unbelievable.
Yeah, Miles Blumhart from the Colorado. Miles, thanks so much for the time today. Appreciate it. Started out a little weird, but we settled right in. We're comfortable in the weird areas, Miles.
Yeah, I'll be your Spanish lullaby.
Get back to the Madonna. All right, appreciate it, Miles. We'll catch up with you next week.
Yep, awkward ending.
See you later. La Isla Bonita.
There you go. There's Miles Blumhart from the Colorado. So I think he must have been talking with his AirPods in.
Yes.
And I think the music was still playing.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Yes, and he thought that was our bumper music.
I was like, that was Dire Straits, man. Yeah. How do you get Dire Straits?
I was very confused.
And he goes, wait, hold on a minute. Then you don't hear from him.
That was the greatest intro from Miles ever.
It's 8:54 the time. Let's get the latest in the nerd world. Here's Mike at Kilpatrick.
Oh, welcome back in, 8:57, wrapping up hour number 3 of Good Morning NoCo. Got a lot of great show yet to come. Brady Hall is fired up in the hallway, so I'm anxious for him to come in the next hour. You set him off on something.
Yeah, it's the Friday night argument.
The Friday night argument about whether there should be football or whether it should be focused on preps. You claim it's like date night or these kind of things. We'll dive more into that, because when Brady gets feisty, we need to hear what he has to say. All right. So he'll be popping into the next hour. Also, we have time for a little back page news. Got a few stories to throw at you there. So a lot of good stuff coming your way. We'll get traffic we've already covered for the morning. Is that something on the traffic map?
It's still southbound I-25 right now, that left lane down really at Highway 60, but it's backed up all the way to 402 now on the southbound side of things. It is the crash has been cleared, and now it's just trying to get traffic going again.
Yeah, so keep that in mind if you're heading that way. The slowing will start to dissipate, and things will start getting to normal here shortly on that as well.
It absolutely will. Keep those responses coming in on our Happy Life Gardens poll question. Who's the most intimidating coach of all time, as the great Bobby Knight passed away at 83 years old? I've got to get some facts and figures ready because Brady's hot, and I know how this is going to go here, so I got to get my facts and figures ready to go. And I've got some already pulled up in front of me that will be ready to roll. But we'll have back page news when we come back. It's Good Morning NoCo, presented by Air Solutions, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.